This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Morning, welcome to the show. This is the Resilient Show. In fact, this is the last Resilient Show. This is the last Good Morning for a while. We'll be back. Don't worry about it. But yeah, this is the last Resilient Show for a little while as we move house. And as I woke this morning, I wondered, did I hear a sad sort of clanging from the clock in the hall? This is it. This is goodbye from the Resilient Show on Arrow FM. So for today, we're on 92.7 FM in the Wairarapa. And anywhere else on planet Earth, jump on to www.arrowfm.co.nz and you can find us on The Resilient Show. And as I say, we'll be back, but today is the last show from The Wairarapa. The sound of music, I'm going to digress a little bit. Look, I mean, I have just stacked this show with music. We've got so many tracks that we could play. We don't have the time to play them all, but that's entirely cool. And I had a view on where this show was going to go today. The title of today's show was going to be very different. The title of today's show is New Beginnings, because yeah, that's all an ending in is. It's just a new beginning, and it's dedicated to everyone who has been a part of the Resilient Show over the last 10 months, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But the sound of music, what a great, I love this sound of music. I love all of those sort of musicy, sort of singy, songy films. I've done parts of the Sound of Music on stage, but we have been to Austria. We've been to Salzburg. We've seen the Untersberg where the show begins. But when I was listening to that, it also took me back to our trip that we did when we lived in North America. And we went to Stowe. Now, Stowe is in Vermont, And there are beautiful mountain sceneries in Vermont, very similar to the mountain scenes that you see across Austria. And actually, that is where the Von Trapp family landed when they left Europe. The Von Trapps are, yeah, they're an actual family. They were actually a singing group that went out across the world, out across the United States, singing their songs. And they now have an absolutely beautiful retreat up in the mountains in Stowe. We were there with friends years ago and actually met the original Maria. Now, the story in the film is not quite the real life story, but we met Maria and she sat down in the bar and played the piano to us. Very old lady, beautiful old lady who played the piano for us before we went into supper. Absolutely amazing. It was just such an amazing experience. Anyway, to today's show, I am rambling. That's entirely cool. Today's show, we are going to just jump around and we're going to talk a little bit about new beginnings. We're going to talk about endings. We're just going to have some fun. But after this next track, because So Long Farewell wasn't going to be the first track of the show, but when I said to the Lady Elizabeth last night, I said, what do you think my first track should be for my last show? She started singing So Long Farewell. Well, she didn't. She started singing the music to So Long Farewell and put in her own words, as Lizzie always beautifully does. So we're just going to jump around a little bit. We're going to talk about endings. We're going to talk about new beginnings, but we're also going to talk about where it all began after this track. Yeah, get in. Bit of Sweet Caroline by the Royal Marines Band. That was part of the Service and Remembrance. I know that I have played that one before. where it began. I don't think I've ever shared the story about where this radio show actually came from. I want to share it today because I want to talk about, or choose to talk about opportunities, because that was all this was. It was just an opportunity that came along from a conversation I had. Back in February last year, I had a conversation with someone at the Carterton Event Centre who said, you know, you've got a message. You should try and get on the radio, get on the local radio. There's a radio station called Arrow FM in the Wairarapa, and I'm sure they'd like to talk to you about resilience and the importance of resilience. And I thought, well, there's an idea. There's an idea. Maybe I'll sort of reach out, and maybe they'll have someone who's got a show who might interview me. So I came up here to meet Michael, meet the team at Arrow FM, and we sat down for 30 minutes, and I explained who I was. I explained that I had a coaching company. I had an online program called Rediscovering Resilience. I'd written a book called Lead Through Life. I'd love if there was a radio show that maybe interviewed local people about what they do. That would be great. And about 30 minutes into our coffee and conversation, there was a bit of quiet. There was a bit of silence. And Michael said, well, when do you want to start? And I was taken aback. I was thinking maybe I'd get 10 minutes on the radio to talk about me. Nope. The question was, well, when do you want to start? Do you ever get those questions when there was an opportunity presented to you and automatically your body goes, nope, you can't do that. You can't sing. You can't draw. You're not clever enough. Remember all those conversations, all those statements from our childhood, normally made by parents or teachers, well-meaning but destructive nonetheless. You get those questions asked and your automatic response is, oh, I couldn't do that. So we live a life that is not as big as it could be. We live a life that's minimized by the limits in our own heads, the limits in our own hearts, rather than saying, yes. I think it was Richard Branson that says, when an opportunity comes up, say yes, then figure out how to do it. Well, thank you for being the guinea pigs over the last 10 months as I figure this out and still get it wrong. Michael said, well, when do you want to start? So with 2 feet, this was a Friday, with 2 feet, I said, well, how about next Friday? How about an early morning show on a Friday? And we looked at the program, and there was a place, and I was given 7:30 till 8:30 in the morning. Or for those of you who you have got used to me, 07:30 hours to 08:30 hours on a Friday morning was going to be the Resilient Show. And we got it all sorted, and we started the following week. It was that simple. And then a few weeks later, we extended it to the 90-minute show that it is now. But that was how it happened. It was that simple. It was a conversation with a complete stranger in Carterton Event Centre that led to a cup of coffee at the radio show that 7 days later, less than 7 days later, led to a radio show. I have never done a radio show in my life. You're probably all sitting there thinking, yeah, we can tell. That's cool. I don't care. I don't mind. I mean, I hope it's been enjoyable. I really do. But I have had such an amazing learning experience. The guys here have been so patient. The Lady Elizabeth has been so patient. My guests have been so patient. We'll come back to them next. But it was an opportunity. I said yes. And then I figured out how the hell I was actually going to make it work. And that's what we should do throughout our lives. When an opportunity comes up, don't say no. When an opportunity comes up and we want to say no, and I get it, our ego is going to be screaming at us to say, you can't do that, you're not ready to do that. Just say yes anyway, because it's only your past that is limiting you. It's your epigenetics, it's your values, it's your family lineage, it's your ancestors that are saying you're not good enough for that thing. Well, maybe that was the case before the question was answered, but as soon as that question was asked, that was God or the universe, whoever you align with, that was God or the universe, in my case, you know it's God, saying, hey, look, there's an opportunity for growth here. There is an opportunity for you to become so much more than you are right at this second. Get on with it, please. You are unique. You are wonderful. You are a genius. Begin to remember it. It is time to move on up. People, that's what you do when you're offered opportunities. Take them. It's an opportunity to grow, become more than we are. I tell you what, we've had some great guests over the last 10 months, and I want to share with you the backstory about how we load guests into the show, how we actually go about getting the guests and why we do it. Now, if we go all the way back to the very first show that aired on Arrow FM, we had Libby Robertson. Now, the reason that Libby was my first guest was, yeah, Libby's a dear friend and has been a coach of mine. But, yeah, she's a friend of the family. Yeah, she and Dane, who's also been in the show, she was my first guest. And that all came about because I thought, well, there's no way I can talk for a whole hour. Turns out I can. But I thought, oh, I can't fill it. And it'd be really interesting to actually begin to get people on to share their stories of resilience. Now, I got hold of Libby and sort of, yeah, she was, you gone and done what? Sorry, you just gone and got a radio show? And said, yeah, well, it's time to start spreading the message out there. Do you want to play? So Libby was our first guest, and obviously, you know, Libby's been on three times. She was on the first time by herself talking about her business and, you know, that whole galactic entrepreneur stuff, galactic businesswoman. And then she and Dane, her husband, came on, and then Libby was last on to talk about her book, which I'm reading at the moment, How to Unmess Your Life, available everywhere. It's, you know, it's a really great read. It's not like a book that I've found that I can pick up and read end to end, and I know that's not why Libby wrote it the way she did. It's a book that you engage with. You take time to think about the questions posed throughout the book. But anyway, so that was the first guest. And, you know, we then had guests coming on. We had folks that I knew and thought, well, that'd be quite interesting to have you on the show. There were some people that I grabbed at last minute because maybe a guest said they couldn't make it or not. I mean, there was Monica. I love talking to Monica on the radio. I mean, I love talking to Monica. Monica was our first guest from overseas. Monica lived just north of San Francisco in the Bay Area in the US. And we've had guests from across the globe over the last 10 months. But how did we actually do it? Well, the rules were, there were only two real rules that we had for guests coming on the show. One of them was that they had to choose a piece of music to play at the end of their talk. Now, there were two reasons for that. One was, look, I wanted to say thank you and let them have a little bit of music. I like that. It's a great question. What piece of music do you want to play on the radio? Because people then just clam up and go, I don't know. It takes them days to figure it out and go, look, just pick a song. It takes them days to figure it out. And then they normally come back to the first one they thought about. So they get the opportunity to think about their backstory, to think about their playlist, because that piece of music, they've got to be able to tell a story about. So, and you've always seen that. You know, I mean, it's the second reason for it is when I ask that question, they know the interview's coming towards an end, so they mustn't just jump on and start talking, because, you know, some guests can talk forever. Glenn, when we had the sculptor Glenn on, I mean, his story is epic, and we could have filled a whole show by just going, Glenn, talk. The stories that he shares, the passion that he has for sculpting, and the way he goes about it in New Zealand was absolutely epic. So we begin to close down the interviews by saying, so you chose a piece of music, what is it? And for the most part, people get it right. Ocean, when he called in to talk about book writing, yeah, he told me one track and then gave me another one, but that's cool. We made that work. We had the flexibility to make it work. But the other rule, the only other real rule that we have, is that after we have had a conversation on the radio, or you're invited onto the Resilience Show, the interviewee has to introduce me to someone else who maybe might like to be interviewed. So, you know, when I spoke to Ocean, he introduced Karen Weber, who we spoke to about her book. Libby introduced us to Mark Shearer, who spoke about his company Encompass Life, which is a coaching program that runs out of Florida, although Mark's from the great state of Texas. So everyone introduces someone to me that we can sort of expand the family of the radio. Now, I want to think, you know, just for a moment, let's think about that, not on the radio, but just in life terms. Families are getting smaller. All right. About, you know, 100, 150 years ago, families were huge. It was the wife's job just to churn out kids. Why? Because those kids were needed in the family business. Yeah, there were a lot more entrepreneurs back there, mostly in the farming space, but they needed the kids so they could actually farm the land. So families were so much bigger back then. Families have got smaller. people are having families later and later. Then we also have the garage door effect that I spoke about. I choose to remember who I spoke to that, but it'll come back to me. The garage door effect, you know, when we lived in Canada for 6 months of the year, it was cold. It was F-word cold most of the time. So people had little clickers in the car. And as they drove down their street, they would then open the garage door. They'd drive the car in, the garage door would close, and they would get out there and then go into the house. We wouldn't see our neighbours. We don't see our neighbours. We're becoming far more insular. We're pretending that we connect with one another because we're always on screens, we're all on our, always on our devices. But what level of connection is it? Is it a deep connection, or is it just a, hey, epic? Our son posted something on Facebook today, and my response wrongly was, awesome, with the awesome emoji. That was it. That's engagement these days, guys. That's not a real deep relationship. So one of the reasons that, you know, we invite guests to introduce folks to the show is because it allows me to expand my network. It allows me to expand the reach of Arrow FM, the Resilient Show. Reaching out to guests, I mean, you know, Mark Rollins, who came on to talk about Retirement Transformed, I hadn't spoken to Mark for years. It was over 2 years between Lizzie and I meeting Mark and Jody in the US, and me reaching out going, hey, Mark, do you fancy coming on the radio show? I hadn't spoken to them, so I reignited relationships. They were great relationships. We'd just sort of moved on a little bit, and we were certainly in different countries. But meeting new people, we have the opportunity to grow our networks. We have the opportunity to learn more and more. It was Spencer that I spoke to about the garage door effect when Spencer was on the show from Nicaragua. I mean, really? Nicaragua? So we grow that network. We begin to talk to other people. And actually, one of the things that I'm a little bit sad about that we haven't achieved, and we will achieve it when we launch the new show out of Nelson, is really to go to places that I am less comfortable, where I have less experience and I have less confidence. You know, we've had Padre Clive on the show 3 times. Weren't they just such epic shows? Garrison Christmas Day and Remembrance Day. We had Greg Simner from The Rock over in Wellington, the church over in Wellington. Yeah, we had him on the show. But one of the things I'm sad about is, you know, we didn't properly represent the multicultural experience that is New Zealand. We didn't celebrate Diwali. We didn't celebrate some of the Muslim and Jewish festivals. And that's something that I choose to expand the show into when we launch the new show, because we are multicultural. But that's what we should be doing throughout our lives. We should actually be reaching out. We should be leaning into those places where we are less comfortable. We should be expanding our network, because if we expand our network, then what we're actually doing is growing. We're getting into that zone of the unknown. We're getting uncomfortable. What we're trying to do is reach out to different people, and therefore we learn. And if we learn, going back to the book I spoke about last week, if God is love, don't be a jerk. Well, if we learn more and more about other people, then there's less opportunity for our egos to roar and us to become jerks. Now, going all the way back to the very, very first show, we've just spoken about reaching a new network. So what the hell? Here's the first track that we ever played on the radio.
Dream.
reach S Club 7. That's my theme tune. When we actually get round to doing live events, like big events, we do workshops, you know, all over the place. But, and if you want to play in a workshop, you know, if you want to come to one of the workshops, reach out. The next one is 25th of February in Wellington at the Intercontinental Hotel. But anyway, well, yeah, I have a dream, just like Martin Luther King did. I have a dream that when we actually do the live event, that's going to be the theme tune for the live event. That's what we're going to be playing when we get started. It's going to be Reach for the Stars, because that's the whole point when it comes to resilience. If we begin, I'm getting excited, I'm going to slow down just a little bit. When I get excited, I talk really quickly. And when I get really, really excited, I start talking like a little Scottish person again. So I'm going to slow down just a little bit. But you reach for the stars, because when we reach for the stars, we can't minimize. When we reach for the stars, we are automatically resilient, because we're looking at every night. You know that every night before bed, the Lady Elizabeth and I and River the dog go outside and we look up to the heavens. Even if it's cloudy, just for, we might see a star. And at the moment, when we look into the heavens, we look towards the north-ish, and there is Orion, Taurus, and Sirius high in the sky. And then when we turn around and look in the other direction, we see the Southern Cross. And splitting the middle of it is the Milky Way. When we look up, we cannot not be resilient. When we look down at the sidewalk, when we look down at the pavement, we begin to minimize. Our view gets an awful lot smaller. And therefore, we begin to think about all of the troubles in our lives, all of the problems we have in our lives, and therefore, we begin to question our resilience. We begin to get worried. Fear creeps in. We begin to have a little bit of anxiety. And, yeah, that's the downward spiral that we so often talk about. That's the downward spiral that we educate people out of in the Rediscovering Resilience program, into that upward spiral of balanced participation and fulfillment. So reach for the stars. Go out there every chance you get. And if you're not quite ready to reach for the stars, look for them. It is always a great start. So books. The weekly book review, and that's drifted a little bit, as we've had different guests on the show, and we've put different content into the show. But we have reviewed tens of books over the last 10 months, and I mean, even last week, where we didn't have a specific book review, I spoke about If God Is Love, Don't Be a Jerk, that book that 7 of 9 from Star Trek suggested was a good read. I know. That's how daft this gets. 7 of 9 from Star Trek. The Borg are suggesting books that we can read. Maybe they're trying to assimilate us. Maybe that's what's going on. But the power of books. We have such a diverse library in the house. We were talking about, well, what's the new house going to look like? Where are the books going to go in the new house? Because, even when we go through the books and we get rid of a whole bunch of books, and that's normally a fairly challenging event, shifting books to new owners, we've still got a whole bunch of books out there that we look at and go, oh wow, well, yeah, they're so powerful, and we pick them up again and again and again. I put together a reading list for the Christmas break that I shared on Facebook and on Instagram, and I worked my way through them. I actually got through I'm on the last one at the moment, and it's one that Lizzie recommended to me, and she's spoken about on the show, Matthew Walker's Why We Sleep. Oh, what an amazing book. It's either really, really, really scary because you realize that you've not been looking after your body the way you should, or it's actually an enjoyable read. You think, these are the things I can do to actually sleep better, to sleep longer. It's great. It gives you permission to sleep longer. Teenagers, maybe they've got it right, or maybe not, but that sleeping 8 hours a day is, it's really, really good for you. I love it. My mum, and mum, if you're listening, hello, I hope everything's going well in Scotland. And my mum was a little bit shocked. She phoned us. So mum's up in Scotland, which at the moment is 13 hours difference. I think they're 13 hours behind us or something. So she phoned at 21:40, which for you civvies out there is 20 to 10 in the evening. Didn't get it. I was fast asleep. I was out. I was out. And I said to her, when I spoke to her the following morning, I said, well, yeah, we were in bed, we were asleep. She said, what, at that time of day? I said, well, Mum, yeah, my alarm goes off at 5 in the morning. So to get 8 hours sleep, I've got to be heading to bed at that sort of time. I've got to be in bed by sort of 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the evening, 2100 hours, to make sure that I get that sufficient sleep. So that was one of the books that I read. But yeah, I had my book list of about, I think it was 5 books that I had. And as soon as I put that book list and I posted it, Lizzie and I were having a conversation about climbing in the Swiss Alps. And I dragged out a book called The White Spider, which is a fascinating book by Heinrich Harrer about the first ascent of the north face of the Eiger, a place that Liz and I have been a number of times, not climbing it, I hasten to add, a place that Lizzie and I have been a number of times, you know, really a place that means so much to us. It was actually came up as part of the conversation because I have started writing my next book. It won't be out for a good little while yet, but I've started writing the next book. So, you know, we added to it. And I know that when we went through the book that I've used to run the show, when I went through all of the notes, there are a number of books that people have referenced on the show when we've chatted to them, and we were going through it, going, oh, we've got to read that one, got to read that one, and we were on the internet looking at the books, and Lizzie very very wisely said, I haven't ordered it. And I'm going, well, why not? It's because we have got so many books that you and I have both still got to get through, so that I don't want to add another one to it just yet. Why do we read so many books? Because, well, really, I mean, what we say to our students, what we say to the workshops is, we read all of these books so you don't have to. We read these books and grab the salient points and use them to shape our lesson plans. We shape our lesson plans in such a way that there's then a reading list. And if you think, ah, that one interests me, I'll go and read it. That was the whole point of the book review on the Resilience Show, is that some of them you go, yeah, not for me. Other ones you go, oh, I might be a little bit interested in that, because reading is so important. When we spoke to Roxanne about book writing, she's a ghostwriter from Sunshine Coast in Australia. When we had Roxanne as a guest on the show, we were talking about the fact that many, many people don't read another book after leaving school. Well, wait a minute, you leave school when you're in your mid-teens, mid to late teens. If you never read another book, how are you learning anything? And I know there are other ways to learn. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that books are the only way to learn. But if you don't ever pick up another book, what do you do? Most people, there was a study done in the US, and the US is a great place to actually look at where studies are done, because the population is so huge. It's a great baseline that we can use. In the US, most people read less than 1.2 books every year. Let's not get into US politics and some of the silliness going on there, but it might be a good idea to read more books for all of us, because it's an opportunity for vicarious learning, learning by other people's experiences. Pick up a book, whatever that book is. Pick up the book that's closest to you and just have a read at it. I'm not saying that's the book you're going to read. I've set myself a challenge of 100,000, sorry, set myself a challenge of 100,000 seconds of reading before the end of April. That was nearly 100 days ago, or nearly halfway through it. I'm already at 120,000 seconds, and I haven't even counted all of them. Every day, do some reading. Part of my morning routine is 15 minutes of reading, because it's an opportunity to learn. Yes, we can learn watching fascinating TV programs. Yes, we can learn being on the internet and looking for information like proper research, not just Bob on Facebook. Oh yeah, I read this somewhere, so it must be true. Pick up a book, have a read. Go back through. In fact, if you jump onto stewdarling.com, there's a reading list on there. And we're just about to update all of the reading lists as well to reference what we've been reading over the last year. The power of books absolutely amazing. They can take you on journeys to places you will never go. Mars, possibly. Oh, sorry, you don't use the word never, where you are unlikely to go. They can I've read so many travel books over the last 2 years, that vicarious opportunity to travel while we're all living in some sort of lockdown, some sort of closed border state. Pick up the book. There are books that I go back to again and again and again. I'm reading The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho at the moment. Yeah, I have read that book so many times, and every time I read it, I find something new. I'm reading it to the Lady Elizabeth in the evenings before we fall asleep. There is always something new in books when we go back to them. They are like old friends. They will always be there for us. Rembrandt, the theme tune from Friends. We share gifts at Christmas. That shouldn't be a surprise. But we often give one and other games to play. And we have a few favourites. Picturica is always a go-to favourite. Yeah, we get very, very noisy in the Darling family when we play games. Sometimes we invite others into the family game circle. They're a little bit shocked at the loudness. So we play games, and when we get together as a family, we play games, we do quizzes. I was very, very fortunate at Christmas to receive the Friends quiz based on the radio or the TV show Friends, because that was the theme tune we just played. And we thought, right, okay. So we got together and we opened the box. Now there is a small dilemma in the Darling household, because I win every game. If I haven't won the game, it just means the game hasn't finished yet. But this quiz, man, we thought, look, I mean, you know, we've watched Friends. We watched it throughout the whole time it was on. Our daughter then got involved in it, you know, when she was a little bit older. She's watched all of them. And we were thinking, yeah, we know Friends. We've got it. We've got this thing down pat. We can do this. Oh, this year, we've actually closed the game up after about four questions, when none of us have got a question right. We closed the box up and we said, right, everybody, the mission for this year is to get onto the telly box and watch every episode of Friends. And really, really sad, I know. Watch every episode of Friends throughout 2022. You'll have time. And then we'll play the quiz again at the end of the year. That's how tough we were finding this quiz. Now, I am not suggesting that binge-watching TV is a good idea. It's not. It's not. We should be out there living life rather than just lounging on the sofa, eating chips and drinking wine and watching Friends on the TV. But it is important to kick back. It's important to relax. You know, that's something that Lady Elizabeth constantly talks to me about, taking time out to relax. And if we program our TV time, then that's entirely cool. I'm not entirely convinced you can program 10 seasons of Friends into a 12-month period and actually make it work, but we're going to do it. As long as we get everything else done first. But yeah, it was, man, it was difficult. I mean, you think Friends, yeah, we know them. We know what they got up to. No, we didn't. It's rather embarrassing. So we played another game that I won. Anyway, I wonder yet again. The music in the show, it's been absolutely fascinating. I mean, I've loved music forever. I've always sung. I have always, I've been on stage and sung. And, you know, when I go away and, I find myself in, in a hotel room or wherever where there isn't just that noise of stuff going on, it doesn't take very, very long for me to start singing. And when we started the show, the very, very first track we played was Reach. It was a given. I mean, that was a one from our time in Germany. That one came out to play, and it's such a cool, uplifting song. But as the weeks and months went on, I had to look elsewhere for music. It can take me hours to put together the music for just one show, because I look at it and go, oh, I wonder where that could take me. Or, you know, when Ocean was on the show, and now Ocean, his nickname is Superman, Ocean Reeve Publishing, the team there, they all have superhero aliases. They all wear t-shirts for that superhero. And Ocean's is Superman. Now, the last thing I wanted to do was just play the theme tune to the Superman films. So I went for a look around about Spotify and YouTube, and that was where I found the song, the track Waiting for Superman. When people, when guests bring their tracks, and, there's no rules by it, it's not a, well, what can I choose? I don't care. You can choose whatever track you want. So we've had a whole bunch of diversity. I've had the opportunity to expand, my repertoire of music that I listen to, that I play. I've said before in the show that, of an evening, a Friday evening or Saturday evening, actually last week it was, I think it was Thursday last week, that we sat outside for supper. It was a lovely summer's day here in New Zealand. We sat outside on the deck for supper, and we played music. We play Splendor in the Grass. We play those big tracks that really get us thinking and talking, and really get emotional. That's the power of music. So thank you to everyone who has chosen diversity for music. Sometimes they've chosen tracks, I'm thinking, can we really? Yes, of course we can really play that. I mean, we have had everything from spiritual to religious, all the way through to heavy rock. I mean, last week, although I don't think we heard it because I made a mistake, we started with AC/DC. We've even played Steps. We've even played the Spice Girls. It's given me the opportunity to really play around with the music that I love listening to, and new music that I didn't even know about. And thank you so much to everyone who has shared their music and offered tracks. But thank you so much to the music.
I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing, 'cause everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without the songs we dance? What are we? So I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me. Mother says I was a dancer before I could walk. She says I began to sing long before I could talk. And I've often wondered, how did it all start? Who found that nothing can capture a heart like a melody can? Well, whoever it was, I'm a fan. So I say thank you for the music, the song. I am the girl with golden hair. I wanna sing it out to everybody. What a joy, what a life, what a chance.
Thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it?
Thank you for the music. Every day I am grateful for the music. Whether I'm in the car driving, whether, you know, sometimes Saturday mornings start with a really rather loud rendition of Sweet Caroline or Splendor in the Grass. Music, it is such a, it can bring up such emotions. It can bring up such joy. It can bring up so many memories. That, you know, just having those tracks out there, you can reminisce, you can look forward, you can grow, you can feel joyful, whatever the music might be. People have been asking us why we're moving. And it's a fair question. It really is a fair question. We moved to the Wairarapa, only 3.5 years ago. And this was our forever home. We had built a house on an amazing piece of land with an amazing view of the Tararua Mountains. This was it. This was where we were stopping. It was the completion of a visualization that I had done over 2 years before that, that we were going to move into this house overlooking the mountains. We were going to have lambs, which we did until they died. We're going to have chooks. We're going to have the golden retriever, who is River. This was going to be the place. And we built the house in a way that it was small enough for the Lady Elizabeth and I knocking around, but it was also big enough for when family came to visit. You know, this was it. And people are saying, why are you moving? You've only just got here. I know. But your life changes. And sometimes the easy option is just to try and stay the same. Well, I made this decision, so it must be the right one. Well, it would have been the right decision when you made it. Of course it would have been, whatever that decision was. But sometimes it's important to review those decisions. And the Lady Elizabeth and I were sitting having a coffee in the house. Windows were open, overlooking the mountains. And we were looking at one another saying, God, this is a beautiful house. I love this house. We're looking at the view going, oh, that's a beautiful view. This coffee's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, I love you. And then we thought, wait a minute, we've been doing this for a hell of a long time now. Maybe it's time to shift things up a bit. Maybe it's time to change things up. And we realized that when we made the decision to buy the land and build the house in the Wairarapa, the world was a very, very different place. The world was a place where I was doing a lot of traveling. I was overseas at least every couple of months. Lizzie was busy with her role in Masterton Hospital. And our home was the place that we would come back to. Our children were beginning to fly the nest and they were heading off on their adventures. And this was going to be the place that we would come back to at those, you know, high days and holidays that was home for all of us. Well, the world changed, didn't it? Just a lot. We are going to be living with the aftermath of this pandemic for a long, long time. Who knows when our borders are going to open up again, actually open up, rather than a promise being made, then changed. Who knows when that is going to happen? But what we did know is that our lives are very, very different from the decision. Our lives when we made the decision to build the house we built. We also recognised that, you know, we love the sea. We both sea kayak. I whitewater kayak. I love diving. I won't call it fishing. I throw food into the sea for fish. Our house, I don't know if it's actually the furthest place in New Zealand from the sea, but I don't think it's that far off. And we began to realise that we need to change our lives. We need to change our lives because of the changing situation around about us. When we don't change, we get stressed. I'm not just talking about me. As human beings, when we don't change, we get stressed. We are built for change. So, have a review of where you are at in life at the moment. If you're looking at it thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't work for me at the moment. Well, we are not trees. We can move. And sometimes that's all it takes. We had a new student join the Rediscovering Resilience program the other week. Now, we have students joining all the time. But we had a new student join the online program the other week. And one of the early conversations we had with them was that I'm not sure if I'm doing what I should be doing. There's so much more in there for me. We were saying, well, lean into it. Lean into that uncomfortable feeling. See what comes from it. Now, you might land where you are and say, actually, do you know what? I'm quite happy. But you also might lean into it and realise that it is time for a change. So, the Lady Elizabeth and I love the Wairarapa. We love Greytown. We love the view. We love our home. But it is just the next step in life. We've always led a peripatetic lifestyle. We've always moved every few years. We thought this was where we would settle. We thought this was where we would grow roots. But, actually, no. Our home is wherever we land. Our home is wherever we are together. Our new home is very close to the beach. Our new home is very close to the mountains. We'll still have the opportunity of mountains, but we'll have the additional opportunity of getting back into the sea. We'll have the opportunity to get out there into the water a little bit more often. And while we're not moving to Ibiza, I'm quite sure that the beaches are absolutely amazing.
Hello, party people. This is Captain Kim speaking. Welcome aboard Benga Airways. After takeoff, we'll pump up the sound system because we're going to...
I think there's actually a Venga bus down in Wellington that takes you out to parties and you get partying on the bus. What a good idea. Get up and dance. You know, the beginning of the show was always the opportunity to get up and boogie. One of the coaches that I follow on Instagram and Facebook and who I've heard speak in the US, talks about, she dances every morning. Get up and put on a good dancing beat to actually get moving. You know, if you don't exercise in the morning, sometimes a good way to get your heartbeat up is to have a good boogie. I do it every once in a while. I don't do it all the time. I do my exercise in the morning. So you're the Resilient Show. As I say, the Resilient Show is not finishing. We're taking a break as we move house, and as we move across to the top of South Island, to just outside Nelson. But we've already been talking to Access Radio over in Nelson, Tasman, and we're going to go and talk to them about another, or starting the Resilient Show over there. But the Resilient Show, I hope we have in some way achieved what we set out to do. And what we set out to do, our life's mission is to make all of us realize that, we can all become more resilient. As a humanity, we can rediscover our resilience. We can do it in so many different ways. We can rediscover our resilience by lifting our eyes to the heavens, by looking at the stars. We can rediscover our resilience by dancing. We can rediscover our resilience by listening to a piece of music that means something to us. We can rediscover our resilience by reaching out to friends and family. We can even rediscover our resilience as a couple by reaching deeper into our intimate relationships. It takes courage. Yes, it does. It takes a little bit of courage, because what we're talking about here is change. And change always takes courage. I'm not a great fan of that phrase, stepping out of our comfort zone, because that suggests we've got to do something uncomfortable. You know, I'm quite comfortable in my comfort zone. My ego likes me being here. I can wrap myself in cotton wool and I don't have to change. Well, yeah, that is your comfort zone, but growth never comes from living in our comfort zone. You're staying the same, staying stagnant is the greatest risk that we as humanity, that we as individuals can ever face. The greatest risk of not facing challenge is that we don't change. And that's the biggest risk of all. So being resilient can mean those little moves. I find it far more exciting to say, let's step into the zone of the unknown. How cool's that? I mean, that sounds like an episode from Star Trek, the zone of the unknown. Maybe it is an episode. I'll have to ask 7 of 9. The zone of the unknown. I mean, how cool's that? Today, what are you doing today? Today, I'm stepping into the zone of the unknown. Might be gone a while. I'm stepping into the zone of the unknown. And it doesn't have to be that massive leap. Sometimes it is a huge leap into the zone of the unknown. And we've shared stories about people who've had to make those massive leaps into the zone of the unknown because they didn't have a choice. But for the most part, we have a choice to change, and we can tiptoe into the zone of the unknown. It's a great book that I read over the Christmas break, and there are podcasts out there as well, by James Clear, who wrote the book Atomic Habits. And he talks about making little changes. Not massive changes. Don't go to the gym and find the heaviest weight you possibly can and lift it. You're going to hurt yourself. Go to the gym and lift a weight. Go to the gym and do a push-up. And tomorrow do 2 push-ups. If you can't manage 1 push-up, do half a push-up. But just do it. Those tiny little shifts. Those tiny little shifts are tiptoeing into the zone of the unknown. And then you begin to realize, actually, do you know what? This isn't quite so scary after all. And then we step into the zone of the unknown. And when we step into the zone of the unknown, then, wow, this is quite cool. I'm growing as a person. All we've got to do is recognize that change is scary, but it's necessary for our growth. If we lean into change, then, hey, we can do anything. We are limitless. We're only limited by, as I said earlier in the show, we are only limited by our beliefs, our epigenetics, our lineage, our ancestry. We can do anything. So start with that tiny tiptoe into the zone of the unknown. Maybe one day it becomes a step into the zone of the unknown. But after all we're doing is talking about making changes.
Oh, yeah. what I was waiting for. And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's your shame? You've left us up to her next to me. Time may change me, but you can't twist time. Strange fascination,
David Bowie and Changes. I think I first heard that when we watched Shrek. Better inside than out, Fiona. That's what I say. All it is changes. That's all, guys. They can be little changes, and that's sometimes the best place to start. So that's it. We're actually coming into land here. We're bringing this show into land. It has been such an honour, such an epic experience. And I would like to, especially I'd like to thank Michael and the whole team at Arrow FM for giving me this opportunity, for allowing me to take my voice out of just the community that we have in Lead Through Life and the community we have in Rediscovering Resilience. So thank you to the whole team at Arrow FM, and especially thank you in the early days when I got stuff wrong fairly frequently. But thank you to all of you guys, to everyone who's listened to the show. We've had listeners from every continent on planet Earth, with the exception of Africa. But we know that we've had listeners from across the globe. That's the reach that we have had. Those are the people that we have spoken to. So thank you so much for listening. And as I say to all of my all of my workshops, or any time that I put content out there, if you have heard one part of one sentence that has helped you become a little bit more resilient, then this show has been a success. If you have taken one bit of the content that you have heard on this show and you've shared it with someone else who you've seen might be hurting a little bit, might need a little bit of assistance in becoming a little bit more resilient, then you have been part of the solution. That is the whole point of the radio show. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We've still got 10 minutes to go, a couple of tracks that I want to squeeze into to finish. But thank you so much for being a part of this show and sharing some of the content that you have learned. And I know that that has happened. Especially thanks to the lady Elizabeth, who, you know, quite often rolls her eyes when I come home and say, guess what I've just done? She really didn't see the radio show coming. But thank you so much for all of your, Lizzie, all of your support over the 10 months of the radio show. Thank you so much for having the braverism to actually be interviewed by me on the show and come into the studio a couple of times, because you are such an important part of rediscovering resilience. You're such an important part of helping me be resilient. But guys, you know, we're not going far. The world is getting smaller and smaller. So the penultimate track that we are going to play, just to remind us all that who knows, just like some of the guests I've had on that I didn't see them for years and years and years, but we knew that we'd meet again. Again, I don't make promises, but we will meet again in the not too distant future. And we're not really going anywhere. The podcast is alive and well. If you want to jump on to Spotify, you can find the Rediscovering Resilience podcast, and there's two of those that go out every week. So there's content there. There's the website, stewdarling.com, that you can go and have a look at. But we will be back. That's the great thing about this world that we live in these days. There is content everywhere. You can listen to the show again. You can go onto the Arrow FM website, arrowfm.co.nz, and you can find the show, and you can have a re-listen to some of them. As I say, there is also the podcast. There's the website. There's the book, Lead Through Life. We are not going very, very far away at all. And with this world where we are all so connected, actually, do you know what? You can hear from us absolutely everywhere. And I know you're sitting there quite surprised thinking, how the hell did he get through the last ever Resilient Show with Arrow FM without playing Tim McGraw? Well, I didn't.
We were born in this little town. Growing up, I was counting down every single day till we made our getaway. But you said you could never see yourself trying to make a life anywhere else. This would be your home. And I was on my own. But ever since you said goodbye, I've been out here on the wind. And baby, you would be surprised at all the places you have been. I've seen you in Albuquerque, waiting out a blizzard. Passing through, the conversation always turns to you, and I hear you're doing fine, living out by the county line. Got a man that's home every night, a couple of kids, and the kind of life that you want to lead. Guess you could say the same for me. But you and I made our choices all those years ago. Still I know I'll hear your voice and see you down the road. Maybe in Oklahoma, driving across the prairie. So maybe that's why you're on every highway, just beyond the highways, right beside me in all of my sweet dreams. No matter where you choose to be, in my heart I'll always see you in Albuquerque, waiting out a blizzard, in Arizona, dancing across the desert.
Everywhere by Tim McGraw. Well, guys, that is it. Thank you so much for your time and your companionship over the last 10 months. Love and blessings to you all. We're not going far. We will be back. But that was The Resilient Show.